Now entering Nerdist.com.
Hello and welcome to Today We Learned. Welcome back, guys. May the 4th be with you. Star Wars Day is here, and so is a brand new episode of Today We Learned.
I was hoping you'd say, May the 4th be with you, and I could act like I was in a Catholic church and say, and also with you.
And with you, my Sith.
This is a fun episode.
Yeah.
And also a fun day, because it's Star Wars.
Exactly. The Sith is about to hit the fan. You guys, we're going to have fun. We got an awesome guest in here today.
Yeah, very funny guest. Very funny. Yeah. Very smart guest.
Yeah, he has a podcast that you've heard called Here We Are.
Yeah.
He has a special on Netflix right now called Mating Season. He has a new album coming out at the end of the month. I think you guys are going to dig it. We get into it. We're going to ruffle some feathers. We're going to go to the galaxy far, far away. Yeah. We're going all over the place. Facts on facts on facts.
Yeah, we do some airing of grievances.
Yeah. You'll learn about the inner workings of the Casa de Razzle.
Yeah.
This is some real Westeros shit. We're seeing some coming apart at the seams. But yeah. it's all in good fun.
Good fun.
And that's why we're here.
Good times and great oldies.
Great facts. Sweet oldies. Golden oldies. And
ladies and gentlemen, we've got some golden oldies coming
ladies
up.
And gentlemen, if you know the phrase that pays, we've got some tickets coming up at noon for Steely Dan.
Steely Dan coming up. The Doobie Brothers at the end of the
box. Guys, we don't have Steely
and
Dan.
And the
tickets.
Latest from the Fleetwood Mac playing once again at the Forum because they've played there for three times a month.
I mean, if it ain't broke, don't play elsewhere. So, guys, without further ado, let's get to it, shall we?
Absolutely, Dan.
Today we learn number 86 with Shane Moss.
Gentlemen, let's broaden our minds.
Hey, Dan, how are you?
I'm good, Razzle. How are you today?
I'm doing well.
Glad to hear it.
Glad to hear it.
Yeah, I was a little worried that you were going to say not well.
Yeah, you know, or not unwell.
So, just well.
Yes.
Yeah, I would be worried if you said that, too, because it would be misleading.
Yeah, or I could be like, not unwell.
I no longer care about your well-being.
Dan, very good to see you. Always a pleasure. How's your book doing?
My book's doing well. It's officially available everywhere now that Avengers Age of Ultron is out. It's in Barnes & Noble. It's in Amazon.com. I think I saw it on some German site. So if you know a place that sells books, they might sell mine. And going to be, doing some signing soon. Did my first one this week.
That's awesome.
Yeah, so just keep an eye on my Twitter, and I'll be tweeting out details and all that fun stuff.
Yeah, or if you're in New York, you might be able to find photocopied versions of it on the street.
Yeah, exactly. I contacted a large network of Nigerian and Filipino men, and they are just selling my stuff with like some hilarious renditions. The covers are not accurate at all. 100 Things You Need to Know About Rush Hour 2.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to another episode of Today We Learned. We want to thank you for checking us out. As always, my name is Razzle.
And I'm Dan.
And then we got Aristotle over here on his computer.
On the ones and twos.
On the ones and the twos. And we got a very funny guest today, a very smart, very intelligent guest, very nerdy guest for you guys. We'll get into all of those coming up. He's a very funny stand-up comedian. He's got a podcast about neuroscience and all that. I think the name's changed a few times. It always seems to be different when I talk to him because he's my roommate, and he's always trying to get me to play board games and weird shit. And he's always – I mean, I like board games.
Hey, board games are pretty fun, man.
I love board games. I'm a huge Settlers of Catan and Dominion fan and all that, but he's got – anyways, ladies and gentlemen, you read his name because you clicked the link, and we'll get into all
of this.
Unless
you just click this blind, and in which case, welcome.
Welcome. You just use Siri.
Luck.
Siri, play the new episode of Today We Learned. Did you mean?
Siri, podcast me.
Hit me, Siri.
Hear me that podcast.
Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Shane Moss.
Yay! I can't believe Razzle thinks I'm the weird one in the household.
Is it Dave? Is it Dave Waite? Is he the weird one?
Well, I would have to venture it's the new dad of the house.
The new dad's a pretty weird dude.
We live in a house with a
bunch
previous
of dads.
Case, with a bunch of dads.
Yeah, that is a bunch of dads. Everyone's struggling to be... Top dad or not dad. Depending.
I would definitely watch a reality show called Top Dad, by the way.
Top Dad.
There's a bunch of adult comics seeing who can be older.
Yeah, it's just... Yeah, it's some weird running joke that we have in our place that, Dave Waite started it, and he's really just projecting because Dave makes, he doesn't trust his own decision making, and so he instead, like anytime he makes a decision, he thinks about what his mother or father would want him to do. And then he's like, well, I guess my dad would do this in this situation, and that's how he lives his life. But then he projects that onto other people. He thinks that's what other people are doing as well. So he's always like, oh, this guy's got a real dad move. This is a real, he's real acting like a real dad over here. And so we often have like these weird dad. I was in my room. The other day, I'm just sitting in my room. And all of a sudden, I hear Razzle, Dave Waite, and John Toll all arguing about who is the most stylish roommate between me and our other roommate, Graham. There's five of us. I'm in my room. I'm like, what the fuck are they talking about?
I was just in the banquette in the kitchen just minding my business on my phone like I generally do, and John and Dave came in and they were talking about that. So then I got I got involved into that.
So I just hear people arguing about whether I'm the most fashionable person in the house or not. I'm like, what is going on out
there? It's definitely not Dave or John, because Dave wears the same thing.
And they know
They both wear the same clothes every day.
Were you mad that you weren't in the running?
Oh, it was me and Graham were in the running for a minute, because Graham's a stylish dude.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not today. I'm not. I can just put it on when I need to.
Yeah. I mean, it's Sunday. I'm not here to judge anyone.
But Razzle definitely has, like, a look. But, you know, it's whether that's a good look or not. I don't know.
My looks change.
Like, it's very Razzle.
My looks change.
Ish.
My looks, I definitely have, Graham, I feel like, would be the he's got a style.
Okay.
My style varies, like, depending, like, I can dress super hipster, I can dress, you know, very clean. John Toll is like...
a biker.
He's like a biker gym teacher who...
Wait, like bicyclist or like motorcyclist?
Like motorcyclist.
Like he's in a motorcycle gang, found Jesus, turned his life around, and now teaches gym class.
But he hates it. So, like, he'll stroll in and he'll complain while he's unlocking the gym door.
And then
he'll sit in like the office while he makes the kids run a lap, like reading.
But he's like this weirdly spiritual guy too. Like, he's just working on having magic powers, I think.
Nice.
He thinks he's.
I hope that works
out. Working towards magic powers.
Yeah, something like, I think so.
He's ability to lift dodgeballs
with
his mind.
Where about three articles of him reading away from sprinkling powder around the perimeter of our house?
Yeah, it's like it's a lot of like conspiracy talk as well, which for whatever reason, those two things often go hand in hand.
Yeah.
Like,
well, I mean,
like, people will be way deep in conspiracy stuff, but then also way big into like weird Jesus shit.
Mm-hmm.
And that's him.
Well, if you want the lizard people and the Illuminati to get into your house, I mean, that's on you guys. Sounds like he's really stepping up and he might take the title of top dad.
And that's why he's the top
dad because he's
saving us from the lizard people.
That's all I want in life is a dad who can protect me from the lizard
people. So I walk out, and then Razzle is wearing a tank top with stripes and it's kind of a ridiculous looking tank top. If I'm being honest, like, some of your stuff is like legit. It's like enough clothes to be wearing. Like right now, metal bracelet. That's a bit much for me, but it's acceptable. Like, I can handle that, right? And then he's wearing like jean cutoffs.
Yeah.
Come on.
Yeah. Because it's warm in Los Angeles.
Yeah. So, you know, maybe throw some regular old shorts on, or maybe some khakis or something like that. Jean shorts, probably we can just cut that out of the options, I would say, when dressing ourselves.
Yeah, they're cutoffs. They're not jean shorts. They're cutoffs.
Reclaimed pants.
You've made them jean shorts.
The tank top was the Apollo Creed tank top from the beach scene. It was a black tank top with white trim.
Mm-hmm.
It's very respectable.
Well, and stripes. It was like all stripey.
It wasn't stripey.
In my mind, it was stripey, but anyway. And so he and Dave nailed it. He was like, because he's going off talking, telling John he's a dad, which no one listening is probably like, what the fuck are they talking? Yeah. Like, we aren't really articulating.
Yeah.
But then Razzle looked like such a stepdad at the moment that it was so awesome. He looked like,
hey, kids want to go to the fun fair?
He'd be driving like a
T-top Camaro.
Yeah.
It's me, your mom's friend Steve, who's been hanging out a lot lately.
Yeah, that's what he looked like.
I'm uncle in quotation, yeah. Steve.
So he's stepdad, and then we have a real dad in the house now. I don't know what I am exactly.
You're the older son who came back into the house and started turning it into a drug house.
I didn't turn it into it.
I don't know.
Oh, Razzle.
It was completely clean for a long time, but now there's some doobies.
How did it get clean in the first place is what I would like.
There were zero drugs in the house for four months.
You're speaking drugs and not drugs, clean and dirty that way.
And then now there's, you know...
Okay.
Some vaporizers going on.
When I moved in.
This has turned into a podcast strictly about our household.
Yeah.
Today we learned what it's like in that house.
What it's like in Razzle's house.
The place for the first time, I was like, yeah, that probably sounds good and everything. I walked in the first time and I was like, what the fuck? Yeah. This is so crazy.
And then I had to hire
a cleaning crew.
Mm-hmm.
I just stepped up and I hired a cleaning crew, two people for 4 hours.
Just scouring the place?
Yeah. And it was like a brand new place.
Nice.
And then I smoke weed sometimes. I don't even smoke weed that often.
No, but you got a machine that like shoots.
Oh, yeah. I have a volcano vaporizer. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that sounds... I don't know what that is, but it sounds...
The Brady Bunch, that episode? It's like that, but for weed.
Yeah.
Just put some baking soda.
But no, absolutely. And to his credit, I've been the dad of the house for 5 years. I've been living in the same house for like five and a half years.
Now dad wants to party.
I mean, you pick your battles when you have four other people living with you. You can only clean so much. And it's been a revolving door of just dirty dudes.
Mm-hmm. And like, no one wants to clean up all the past dudes' stuff.
It's the hardest thing to do so much.
You're playing rock, paper, scissors for who's cleaning up after the guy that left all this crap. And then everyone just ends up leaving it. And then it just gets out of control. It was out of control.
Thank God for that crew. I stepped in.
I dadded it up. Yeah. I was like, Dad's going to take care of business.
You're the mom.
I am the mom. I am the mom.
Shane's the mom, ladies and gentlemen. And that's the name of this episode. Right. Shane's the mom.
Good.
Shane, we like to start off each episode with the guest providing a fact about themselves or something they learned recently. What do you got for us?
I have a fun one about birds.
Okay.
Ooh.
I was talking with a scientist on my own podcast, and I have a podcast called Here We Are. The name hasn't changed, but I thought about changing the name here and there for a while. But anyway, it's called Here We Are. I travel around asking scientists about life. And this was just a real fun fact that has stuck out. I've shared with many people because people just enjoy it immensely. It's about how we he's a neuroscientist working on how our brain puts together our visual perception. So like none of this is real that we're looking at. It's just a narrative that our brain is constructing for us to help us guide our way through this weird existence, right? So how does it do all that? Well, when it comes to seeing things in three dimensions, you have these two eyeballs, and think of it as they're both taking like a picture, and it's using these two pictures to compare. It's using the angles and everything else to compare distance and everything, and that's how it's putting together a three-dimensional shape. Which you guys know that's how 3D movies are shot. You take the camera and you just put two cameras at eye's length, and you shoot that. And then you sync them up with the old eyeballs using some fancy glasses, and that's how you see 3D. So there's a bunch of different ways that our brain puts together three dimensions. There's a lot of clues that the brain looks for. Like right now, I'm looking at Razzle. Even if I only had one eye, my brain would still be getting information that's telling me that Razzle is in front of that wall, mm-hmm. because I'm not seeing lots of that wall. It's yeah. blocked off by Razzle, so my brain's like, oh, he's in front of that. So there's all these weird things that your brain does to put together this narrative. Well, one of the things you can do is say you only had one eye and your depth perception wasn't so good, and you're looking out in front of you, you can kind of move your head around mm-hmm. to take in a few different angles of yeah. the same thing, and it puts together the
sort of
visual scene that
doing
way.
Doing a little panorama mode with your face.
Exactly. And that is why pigeons bob their heads.
Oh, that's crazy.
Isn't that awesome yeah. and crazy?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
So that would be like
and
why
chickens.
Why the T-Rex probably would do that.
Maybe, yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
dinosaurs are descended from birds.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Huh.
And
that's really neat.
Yeah, yeah, really neat and fun. Who knew? I just thought they were stupid.
Yeah,
they
still might be stupid.
Stupid creatures.
They're just doing dumb shit in 3D.
Well, but, yeah. I mean, I got pigeon facts up the wazoo.
Oh. tell me some more. My grandfather raises them in Florida. He's done that for
raises or races.
Both of those.
He raises.
Yeah, he breeds pigeons.
Why? How long have we been living together? Where you didn't share the most interesting thing.
It's not the most interesting thing because
about you? Yeah.
Here's the deal. He's been doing that for like 17 years since he was like 17.
Mm-hmm.
He used to do that in Michigan where I'm originally from. It was a big thing, you know, back in the, you know, in the when he was a kid, pigeon racing, because they're
yeah.
homing pigeons.
Oh, yeah, the old stories you hear.
Classic
about,
Michigan.
Oh,
here's the deal. You're talking about it like it's in jest and like it's this weird thing, but if you look into it, it's a hugely money-making thing. And
I'm sorry that I'm talking about it like it's a weird thing. You're right. Nothing weird about racing pigeons.
I read an article, let's see, Mike Tyson pigeon racing, too.
If Mike Tyson's doing it, then it's probably perfectly normal. Then it's probably a very normal thing to do yeah. if Mike Tyson's way into it.
Yeah, well, it's, I mean, it's homing pigeons. It's been a thing throughout the U.S. for a long time and even in the world. And there's a big thing in Florida, you got a lot of the old retirees doing that now. But they raise homing pigeons and then they race them. They put them all together and they have the technology. I mean, the money making just as far as technology, like the bands they put around their legs now have computer chips in them and all sorts of shit
yeah.
to where they can see how far it is, and then they'll put them all
in tiny little Fitbits.
Yeah, that's exactly what they are. And they'll put them in like a truck and they'll go drive them super far out.
Yeah.
And they'll let go, and then they'll fly back to the...
So, who did your grandfather have to win in Mayfeather versus Pacquiao?
Yeah. Puns, ladies and gentlemen. Very quick puns. Dan's quick with the puns. Dan's, that's a very... That's
Pacquiao's
funny.
Great.
Thank you.
Yeah, Pacquiao and Mayfeather. It's good. I still don't understand how boxing works, but it's
basically, you wave your hands at each other wearing oversized shorts until you have to hug and a bell rings.
Like, I feel like at least... Hitting that, like I was telling Shane on the way here, hitting, like if you're blocking and someone's still just railing on your blocked gloves, that should be at least a half a point each time they hit your blocked gloves because you're too scared.
You're talking like in a fighting game where you get chip damage if someone's blocking, you can just punch them, but it does reduced damage.
Like the fight last night, like Pacquiao got 0 points.
That fight was garbage.
Horrible.
What
horrible.
The fight of the century? This century sucks.
Yeah.
I didn't watch it. Because I knew ahead of time. I know disappointment.
Oh, yeah.
When I see it coming, because I live there.
Yeah,
he lives in
I've got a timeshare.
I have a small room in a 5-room apartment of disappointment.
Yeah. It's a house.
Oh yeah, it's a house. I forget that it's a house sometimes because I just lock myself in my jail/room.
Yeah. Oh, I do that too.
Yeah, I just
we got two big front rooms. And
you guys are like old boy at that hotel.
Yeah, well, yeah. Dave's kind of the king of the living room.
The living room.
He really does. I just came on here today so Razzle and I could air our grievances.
Exactly.
Hey
guys, why don't you just sit down and listen to this episode real quick?
Believe me,
a house meeting.
Believe me. I'm definitely going to make Razzle listen to all the podcasts my other roommates are doing about him at some point.
Yeah.
So Now you've already queued up another bird fun fact
Tell
in
us.
My brain as you were talking about putting
Perfect.
The bands on. So they tried to, they were taking pigeons and various birds and things and trying to figure out what females were looking for in a male.
Okay.
Everyone already knows what males are looking for in a given species.
Big bird titties.
any bird titties.
Plumage.
Any bird titties. No, it's only the males have big, beautiful plumages. The females are always plain.
And browns and uglies.
Brown, and they don't have to try for it. Guys
females will
fuck
are
anything.
Uglies. The birds are uglies.
Yeah, yeah. And so the male birds got to do all the work. Well, to stand
Hence where
out.
The phrase peacocking comes from.
Exactly. And
so stupid. For all you pickup artists out there.
That is exactly where it came from. Yeah, that was the idea of evolutionary psychology. And then dirtbags decided that, I can use science to help me be an asshole.
How do I turn birds into fucking?
Yeah, yeah.
That's exactly.
So they put all these different colored rings on their legs.
Mm-hmm.
And it turns out, just to keep track of like what bird was what, and it turned out that they inadvertently triggered a weird thing in these females where females would just respond to one certain color.
Oh, wow.
So all of a sudden you put like a purple band on like one pigeon's leg or whatever, and this dude is just the shit. Like,
yeah.
All the ladies got to get on this guy. He could have been the loser before. So then they figured out ways of then they were studying that, like how you can change a bird's like social structure just like that, and how he'll behave differently.
Wow.
Like, he's just this sheepish little, I just want to help you raise your children and take care of you. And then you give him one of those pimp ass rings, and it's like, oh, fuck you, bitch. I guess I'll drop a little load in you quick, then I'm out of here. and their personalities and behaviors will adapt to whatever their ability is to get at that scene. And that's not even as crazy as the one that I was going to say, which is about how you can train superstition into a pigeon quite easily. So how our brains typically work, or how they function the best, is based off of a series of reward mechanisms, mm-hmm. where you'll kind of be doing something and your brain will receive an award. It will release this dopamine stuff. And then it's kind of this signal to be like, hey, brain, what were we doing just before that happened?
Yeah.
Okay. Maybe we could repeat that again. And that's how your brain starts to learn and pick up on the best way to get to goals. It's just whatever behavior is reward. There's punishment as well. It just doesn't work as well. But so there's this dopamine release in the brain. And then you notice something. And this is like the Pavlovian dog thing, where then you can put in a cue and ring a bell or whatever. And you can train. And now the dopamine will be released when the bell is rung, because the brain's now associated, okay, the bell's rung, now that means there's food coming, or rats, so they'll do studies, and the light lights up, now I know if I hit this lever, I'll get the reward. Well, now the dopamine is triggering the motivation to get that reward. So anyhow, what you can do is you can just give a pigeon, just out of nowhere, randomly, just some awesome, sweet reward.
Mm-hmm.
And just whatever the fuck it was doing right before that, it will just be like, oh, well, that worked.
Yeah.
And so it will just, like, if it just happened to be, like, scratching itself or, like, flipping its right wing around a little bit in a weird fashion, it's like, well, that must have done it. Yeah. And so now it will just, like, keep on doing that all the time. And, like, I've seen pigeons out and about before. Like, I've fed pigeons. I remember one time I fed a pigeon and it had, like, one leg. And I was like, oh, man, what a life that pigeon has. I'm going to give that guy a little food
because
he only has one leg. And I threw food down there. And the second that I did, it just dropped the second leg. And was like it was faking it, and it must have
grifted.
Yeah, and it must have just accidentally picked up. Like, it must have just had its leg up one time, and it was like scratching itself or something like that.
Oh,
some other
gosh.
Sucker was like, "Look at this one-legged pigeon. This is sad."
Yeah.
Throwing it food, and then the pigeon's like, "Oh, that works."
So just like
fell into a life of crime.
And just, so like, then it just now just hops around on one leg until something. No, it just like puts it up.
Oh.
So you can't
see
it.
Yeah, just hides it. Looks real sad. Just hides it, then drops it, mugs you, takes all your baguette.
It's like a dog will give you those puppy dog eyes when it's begging that are just like, oh, so cute. Well, you could train anything. Like you could train it to every time it bites, you give it a treat and it would bite you instead of begging. Yeah. We respond to those puppy dog eyes. It's not that the dog understands like, oh, if I make my eyes look like this, it's this trained behavior.
Here's something.
There's all the pigeon facts that I know, I think. I know more.
According to Wikipedia, the dodo bird was actually a giant pigeon. It grew and lost its ability to fly due to island giganticism, which...
too big to fly.
It's like dwarfism and giganticism. Apparently, the dodo bird was like a pigeon that over time evolved into, you know.
It's like the dire wolf of pigeons.
Yeah, exactly.
That's interesting.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, here's another bird fact for you. There is a species of thrush in Australia called the Bassian thrush. And the way that it feeds is kind of interesting. In order to ferret out worms, in order to find worms in the ground, it will use flatulence to flush them out. So basically, they will fart towards where they believe a worm is. It disturbs the worm. The gas expels the worm, provokes movement, makes them wriggle out. And then, when they're popping out to find a new place to go, the thrush just yanks them and feeds on them.
That is amazing.
Yeah.
That's wild.
So, it's just like, just imagine you just walk into an Arby's, do that near someone with their fresh roast beef sandwich, they leave, you eat their sandwich.
Free sandwiches.
Wow.
Yeah.
Fart hunting.
Exactly. The Australian fart hunter.
Amazing.
Yeah, right?
Yeah, that's a good one.
Yeah, well, let's shift gears a bit to a bird of a different color, the Millennium Falcon.
Uh-oh.
Today, when you're listening to this, it is May the 4th. May the 4th be with you. Happy Star Wars Day out there, everyone.
Happy Star Wars Day, Shane. Happy Star Wars Day, Aristotle. May the 4th be with you.
Hope you're...
and also with you.
Just thinking about your homies, Jar Jar Binks and Padme Amidala and Qui-Gon Jinn. And really, I've only seen
Lando,
the prequels.
Lando, Calrissian, be good to your brothers out there.
Yeah, just pour out a Colt 45 on the curb for Lando.
he's still alive.
Yeah, well, his career isn't.
When's it come out?
The new one?
Mm-hmm.
December 18th, 2015.
Yeah,
that's not too.
Yeah, December 17th. No. If you happen to live in certain territories,
which means December 17th, if you have the internet and someone leaked it already,
I'd rather just wait that extra day and see in the fucking theater.
Yeah, right.
Razzle McDazzle and I had the same argument about Game of Thrones because he watched 4 episodes illegally.
No.
No one can say how they appeared.
I was breaking no laws.
Weren't you?
My show
brought to you by HBO
like,
Go.
I'm just going to enjoy stolen property right
now. Hey, look.
I'm not doing anything.
Oh, I'm on YouTube. Oh, this video is on here. I'd be wrong to not watch this video.
Oh, no.
You'd be wrong to not do it.
I thought this was just an advertisement for the series.
I downloaded
it. You would be a bad person if you didn't.
Here's the deal.
Fruits of stolen things.
Listen, I was not breaking any laws. I did not download or steal anything illegally.
Mm. Oh, wow.
According to the court of law, I did nothing illegally. I did. Exactly.
Wow.
There happened to be some pie on the kitchen counter, and I happened to...
You know that that scene in Clockwork Orange where his eyes are just being forcibly held open?
Yeah. Hey, listen. If you were neglected, you'd be upset. So there you go. I was doing my duty to not neglect some very cool things.
Oh, I think you were maybe just neglected as a
maybe
child.
I'll just spoil them for you now.
Why don't you do that in the car ride home?
Yeah.
I want to watch them in order.
There was 4 episodes that leaked online, and I wanted to do the right thing and give them my full attention.
Razzle was trying to prevent future spoilers by preemptively striking.
Because
that was his Iraq.
I didn't want a spoiler. I didn't want anything to get spoiled for myself, so there we go. So, anyways.
Well, sometimes the stepdad's got to step up. And,
yeah, there was a reason he wasn't prime dad.
Yeah.
Star Wars Day, Millennium Falcon.
Yeah, Man. Star Wars Day. So a couple facts about Star Wars. Alec Guinness.
Yes.
Sir Alec Guinness, the late great actor
That's
who played Obi-Wan Kenobi in the original Star Wars, 1977. Actually didn't really want to do it at first. You know, he was a
I thought you were
classic...
going to be like, is dead today.
Oh, he's still dead today.
Well, he was dead a while back.
Yeah, he's been...
I thought
he's not risen. He's not come back as some sort of evil skeleton warrior.
Yeah,
he did not want to do the movie originally because he was a classically trained actor. He'd just done Bridge on the River Kwai and, like, you know, he thought he was above it. He initially dismissed Star Wars as, quote, fairy tale rubbish. But I'm sure he's glad that he wound up doing it because he negotiated a deal that netted him 2% of the gross box office receipts for the movies he appeared in, which grossed him over $95 million. Mm. Yeah, but I think he was still pretty pissed at the end of the day because most people associate him with Star Wars and not the other amazing things that he's done
with
his career.
What was the character he played again?
Obi-Wan Kenobi.
Oh,
yeah.
Wowzers.
Yeah.
Wowzers.
Yeah,
he was also known as
him?
Also known as Old Ben Kenobi.
Also known as Cool Guy Ben and Uncle Ben and what's
Stepdad
up, Ben?
Ben.
Yes. And, Dad Ben.
And Old Ben Kenobi and the... What is it? There, I feel like there was another derogatory... Like, if you're going to go hiding out on a planet, at least change your last name. Like, he was hiding out on a planet
more like,
on the dark side.
More like Robi-Wan. Get some new duds, man.
Come on, guy.
I've been wearing those for decades.
For at least 20 years. 18 years.
Harrison Ford, not a lot of people were highly paid for Star Wars. They were all relative unknowns. Harrison Ford had appeared in American Graffiti, and he actually wasn't even supposed to audition originally for Star Wars. He was the carpenter working on set, and the casting director, Fred Ruse, knew that he would be perfect for the role of Han Solo. George Lucas was auditioning tons of people, finally agreed to give him an audition, knocked it out of the park. But how much do you think Harrison Ford was paid for A New Hope?
$100,000.
$100,000?
Wait, for this new one?
No. For the first Star Wars. Star Wars 1977.
A New Hope.
Star Wars Episode IV, A New Hope, a title which did not appear until 1981 during the re-release.
Yeah, it was just Star Wars.
I'm going to say $300,000.
You guys would have overpaid by a lot because he was paid $10,000 for the first Star Wars.
And 77.
Yeah. They were all relative unknowns. It was a very
But even scale back then, I feel like would have been more
than $10,000 and 77 bucks was like 15.
Yeah, but that's $10,000 for a year of work. In theory, 9 months of work for $10,000.
Yeah, how did he even
go build
survive
some cabinets? He would make
more
money.
I mean, you know, you're on set. You've got craft services. They're putting you up in hotels. I think they just took the role because he, you know, wasn't really a working actor at the time. But that catapulted him to superstardom. Even though
he's done some stuff since.
Yeah,
then?
Yeah. He did. I can't really think of anything. He did.
What did he do?
The Patriot.
He did.
Patriot Games.
Yeah.
He did. Soul Plane. No, that was Air Force One.
Yeah.
He was also in, what has he been in? Young Adventures of Indiana Jones. Young Indiana Jones. Was that that was a cartoon series, right? Or was that a live action thing? Anyway, River Phoenix, rest in peace. Harrison Ford, not paid a lot. Yeah.
Whereas, he got paid a lot for like the last Indiana Jones.
Yeah,
for that, like
that.
So you can get paid a lot to just like ruin things and very little to make things.
Here's a fun fact about Yoda. He was like one of the hardest characters to bring to life, and they couldn't really figure out how they were going to do it. Originally, they wanted to do some sort of stop motion animation, kind of. Just like an animated figure. And at one point, they considered dressing up a monkey in a costume and having a trained monkey play Yoda before ultimately George Lucas went to his friend, Jim Henson, who he'd met in London previously working on Star Wars, because Jim Henson was there working on the Muppets. And he asked Jim Henson to do it originally, but Henson was too busy, so he referred him to Frank Oz. And the rest is history. Originally, we just wanted Frank Oz to do the puppeteering, but later he shifted gears and he was like, you know what? You got this.
Here's something. I've never listened to Queen as a band. You've heard of the band Queen. They have a song called Bicycle Race, which I want to ride my bicycle.
Yeah. It's originally Pigeon Race.
I've always, like, you hear that song and you hear the refrain and all that. I want to ride my bicycle, and you think Queen and all that. But I'm looking at some lyrics here, and there's some lyrics in the Queen in the song where they totally, he's like, Jaws was never my scene. And he straight up says, I don't like Star Wars.
Oh, yeah.
That's a lyric in a Queen song is, and I don't like Star Wars.
Well, that's so his opinion.
Yeah. It's just like your opinion, man.
Yeah.
Well, look who's still around. Star Wars.
Yeah.
Are they connected? Who's to say? Another fun fact about Queen.
I like that it's just the new stereotype that I have about incredible homosexual frontmens of epic rock bands that just not big fans of Star Wars.
Star Wars. David Bowie hates Star Wars.
Morrissey.
Bowie also.
Morrissey. Huge Star Trek fan.
Morrissey only watches Doctor Who. Well, I guess I'd put Morrissey more in the asexual category than anything. Yeah. He's just sort of like a sad ghost. A sad vegan ghost.
A sad vegan ghost.
I think we've brought this up on the podcast before, but it always just blows me away when I think about Queen. The guitarist, Brian May, is an astrophysicist. He has a PhD in astrophysics.
Oh, doesn't he have some weird show or something like that?
Possibly.
Science or rock or something? I don't know.
Yeah.
Maybe not.
We will rock you with our science.
I forget what it is. I don't know. There's like posters all over LAX for some show that was like about science, and there was like a rock person. They looked older, so I was just assuming that was maybe that dude.
Are you thinking of Neil deGrasse Tyson?
Nope.
Nope.
Yeah. Oh, you mean the former frontman of Styx, Neil deGrasse Tyson?
Yeah, that is. That's
Brian
interesting.
Yeah, scientist.
But May the 4th isn't the only weird holiday this month. Tomorrow, you might think it's Cinco de Mayo, but other people will call it Revenge of the 5th because they want to keep Star Wars Day going.
Yeah.
May 6th is evidently No Homework Day.
Also known as Revenge of the 6th.
Also known as Holy 6th. I can't believe these Star Wars days are going. Holy Sith. Oh my god, May 8th? This can't be real. Is Fintastic Friday giving sharks a voice? Oh, it's to raise awareness for the illegal mass killings of sharks to harvest their fins for various soups.
Yeah, yeah. They just, like, see a shark, cut its fin off, let it go back into the ocean, fin this.
Yeah. And then no one respects it because it doesn't have that cool fin anymore. It lost its spoiler.
Like, also, it dies super quickly.
Yeah, exactly. But it's really disrespected super huge at first.
Yeah.
May 21st.
I just want to eat the whole shark. That's what's bad about it, is you're wasting all that other good shark.
My people taught me to use every part of the shark.
Yeah.
Which are a proud people.
Are you Atlantean?
No. No. I wish. I'm from the East Coast, so I guess Atlantic-ish. Atlantic adjacent. May 21st, National Hummus Day.
Ooh.
Started by Sabra in 2013.
Let's mush up some veggies.
Yeah, right. So start stocking up on baby carrots and maybe some broccoli florets. May 29th.
Isn't it split peas, or what's the peas that's used as the base for hummus?
Chickpeas.
Chickpeas, yeah. Chickpeas.
Yeah. Yeah, it's hummus. It's really good, so get on it if you haven't tried it yet.
I thought there was like more to it than chickpeas, and then people are like, no,
it's pretty much chickpeas and whatever else you want to add. It's like chickpeas and olive oil and garlic and lemon juice and tahini.
Neat.
Yeah. But not as neat as May 29th, which is Hug Your Cat Day. Are you feeling sad? Well, it's about to get even sadder. May 29th, hug a cat.
All right.
Yeah. So there's a couple weird holidays coming up this month.
Cats hate being hugged, so yeah. I'm not sure who that day is for.
It's for people with Instagrams.
So they can
be like, hashtag cat, hashtag my cat, hashtag cat life, hashtag perfect.
It's a lot like torture your cat day.
Yeah.
Take pictures of you torturing your cat day.
Torture your cat day is June 1st. Set up an adorable little Meowtonimo bay and just have at them. Yeah. You got another fact lined up there?
I do.
One in the chamber?
I got one in the chamber. English astronomer Fred Hoyle is credited with coining the term Big Bang in reference to the Big Bang Theory.
He named that show?
Yeah, he's the creator.
Stephen Bazinga.
Fred Hoyle is the pseudonym of Chuck Lorre. Fred Hoyle credited the term, he came up with the name Big Bang Theory during a 1949 BBC radio broadcast. It was popularly reported that Hoyle, who favored an alternative called the steady state cosmological model, instead he used the Big Bang Theory as like a pejorative to like badmouth.
Yeah, he was cutting down.
It was a big old bang theory.
Yeah.
So the Big Bang, the theory obviously was around before that, but there wasn't the name of Big Bang Theory until 1949.
Interesting.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah, things weren't always just sitting around where they are now.
Yeah.
In one static state.
Yeah. Man.
Nope.
It's good to be in stasis. Feels real great.
We're not, though. We're flying away from everything else at an incredible speed.
But how can we prove that? Why isn't this table that we're sitting at flying off the planet right now?
Gravity. Gravity,
Pixar, it didn't happen.
Pixar, it didn't happen. They have pics.
Oh, good.
They have all sorts of satellite fun things that they can do to see if light's traveling away or toward you. They got a pretty good handle on a lot of it.
They got tired of hearing that argument.
We do have the pics.
Guys, fellow scientists, we got to get some pics.
Or it didn't happen.
it's true. That is the original theorem.
And actually, they bringing things full circle. A circle is a three-dimensional thing.
Yeah.
Time is a flat circle. They put satellites around the Earth and have them take pictures of the same thing from as far apart as possible so that they can create a 3D image of our galaxy.
Awesome.
Just like what we talked about earlier with our two eyes.
Yeah, there was a photo released maybe 2 months ago, 3 months ago or whatever, of like it was either NASA or some company did – they posted – it was this amazing – resolutioned photo of a bunch of galaxies, and there's a YouTube video of it, and it kept zooming in, and it looks almost 3D because of how high res and how beautiful it is and how amazing it is, and it kept zooming in, and it's like keeps showing you like where you are in the scheme of things, and you're like, oh man, how small are we?
We're pretty small and slowly dying.
Yeah. Here's a fun fact from Aristotle. Aristotle just emailed me a thing here. About,
is it a pick?
It's a pick of some scientists.
Ooh, that happened then.
10 scientist rock stars. Tom Scholz, founding member of the band Boston, also a huge fan of aliens and all that, because all the Boston covers are of their albums are always like guitars that are like weird spaceships and shit like that. Mm-hmm. But Tom Scholz was an engineer. He received a bachelor's degree and master's degree of mechanical engineering from MIT, and he was a senior product design engineer for Polaroid, and he was still working at Polaroid designing products while he was recording demos for what would become Boston.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. He's just a rock and roll band.
I think he was just developing like the first dick pics to send out to fans. We need to make this technology better.
Listen, if you shake it more than once, you're just playing with your picture. Well, Eddie Vedder used to be a night security guard at the La Valencia Hotel before he was in Pearl Jam.
People did things before they did other things!
That's crazy. Jack White was an upholsterer. He used to work in upholstery at a furniture shop.
Yeah, I can see that. I made furniture. That's the Jack White in me. Yeah.
You made furniture?
Yeah.
What kind of furniture did you make?
I worked for Ashley Furniture in their manufacturing plant of Arcadia, Wisconsin.
Okay.
I made. I worked specifically in case goods, making pieces for cabinets and stuff like that. So I'd spend a whole day like making 1,000 little shelves that would get sent to an assembly plant or the assembly line. And then the shelves would go into the bookcase or whatever. I'd make some other piece of it. I did all sorts of different aspects of it. I was a super... The best part about... I worked in that factory for 4 years. And the best thing I did was I was I forget what it is. Like a parts person or something like that. Or you drive around on forklifts.
Oh, nice.
And the little stand-up forklift things, and you go around and you get like these parts need to be made this way so they can be ready for the assembly line, and then I take them to the assembly line so that can be ready, and you got to time everything out and you're scooting around on a forklift and making sure everyone has their stuff like right when they need it, when their new machine's ready and everything, and it was like it was a very fast paced forklifting.
Is that has that made fun. You better about balancing your time in your personal life?
Nope. No, it added
nothing
to my life.
You kept it strictly professional.
But it was fun.
Yeah.
It was, of the jobs that I had, driving a forklift is like, oh, if I had to go back to doing something, I would like to like operate a crane or drive a forklift or something like that. It's fun. You always like get better at it, and you're always like going faster, and sometimes you're just flying and into like these
full on Mario Kart Tokyo
of
drifting
huge things where there's just like $100,000 worth of stuff, and you're just flying into it with these forks, and it's
like, well, hope I don't break everything.
Yeah, if this goes wrong, I'm fired, and so it was fun. I liked it. I almost tipped over a few forklifts. That's a little scary. Sometimes like you don't know, like you're picking up something heavier than you realize, and the lift is up too high and blah, blah, blah. And then you almost, then the back wheels come off the ground. And you're like, uh-oh, you lean back. Oh, boy. That was fun. That was a good job. Yeah. All the other stuff that went along with it was awful, but driving a forklift, highly recommend it.
Yeah. Well, here's a quick forklift statistic. On average, forklifts are the source of only 1% of all accidents in factories and warehouses.
Yeah.
However, the injuries that are caused in these accidents constitute 10% of all physical injuries that take place.
Mm.
So that's why.
So they're 10 times more harmful.
Yes.
When they do happen.
Exactly. So if you might not get into an accident with a forklift, but if you do, God help you.
Oh yeah, I feel
and,
that.
That's why the maximum allowable speed of a forklift is 8 miles an hour, but in areas with pedestrians, it should not move above 3 miles an hour.
Yeah, they go faster.
Go speed of traffic.
Yeah, when they take those limiters off and everything.
Supercharge this fucker, get it up to 15.
Yeah. I mean, it certainly doesn't go very fast, but like when you're zipping around a small little factory space, it's like you wouldn't want to go much faster.
No, exactly. A wise philosopher once said, if you're not out of control, you're not in control.
While we're talking about forklifts, the 70mm IMAX version.
You guys have the best transitions on this show, by the way. Speaking of forklifts.
Yeah, seamless.
The film version, the 70mm IMAX version of Interstellar weighed 600 pounds and required a forklift to move it.
That movie was fantastic.
Yeah, it was beautiful.
And he wanted to shoot it so that it would, like, because everyone's going digital, and digital doesn't hold up over time. Because digital, like, you look at digital stuff 5 years later, and it's like, what was that garbage that people thought were good?
Yeah.
Whereas whatever the millimeter. What is it?
70 millimeter IMAX and all that. Yeah.
Yeah. Holds up. Yeah. Over, that's why they still show like Spartacus in the stores and stuff when you go and watch the TV.
Yeah. It was shot, oh man, I got the chance to see Spartacus in 35 millimeter at LACMA a couple years ago. They were showing it as part of their like repertory film series. So good. It holds up so well. Looks amazing.
Yeah.
Like there's just some, there is like a sort of timeless quality to stuff shot on film.
I think that Christopher Nolan is a fucking genius. Yeah. And underrated so much. I can't believe how many people haven't seen Interstellar. I can't believe it didn't like it. Did it get nominated for any awards or anything?
I think it got
like
nominated
that?
For some technical stuff.
Technical stuff.
I mean, the technical stuff was
no respect for Christopher Nolan's storytelling.
Here's a Well, you mentioned Spartacus, starring Kirk Douglas, and there's a funny story about his son Eric Douglas, who was a comedian. Apparently, he's dead now, June 28, 1958 to 2004, but he was an American stand-up comedian supposedly, and he was the youngest son of actor Kirk Douglas. Mm-hmm. And there's a story on the internet of him doing stand-up. And he was bombing, and people were, like, booing him. And he's like, you can't do this to me. I'm Kirk Douglas's son. And then somebody in the audience stood up and said, no, I'm Kirk Douglas's son. and then, like, a bunch of other people started standing up saying, no, I'm Kirk Douglas's son.
Oh, my God. That's incredible.
That's a good night.
Yeah. That's a good night.
That's sometimes magic happens.
Yeah.
No. Oh, I'm Kirk Douglas's son.
I got a Pepsi here for Kirk Douglas's son.
But going back to Interstellar for a second, the effects, a lot of the science was sound. A lot of it was in, you know, obviously they had to fudge some things for storytelling purposes, but was sound. They consulted with Dr. Kip Thorne, who is one of the leading authorities on astrophysics. And, you know, I covered an event a couple years ago where it was a lecture with Stephen Hawking and Kip Thorne about black holes and the nature of them and what we understand them to be. And evidently, the representation of Gargantua, the gigantic black hole in Interstellar, was the best visual representation to date of what a black hole would actually be like and how it might function, so much so that a scientific paper has actually been written based on its representation in the movie and how it helped illustrate our understanding of them.
The same people have written papers about Inception as well. It's like his movies are on such a different level that like people just don't fucking understand what he's doing.
Should Batman have been wearing hockey pads?
Yeah.
It's I really do think that people just don't understand because I think Interstellar is like Christopher Nolan from the future delivering us a message, but he doesn't realize it's him delivering.
I mean, the whole Tesseract thing was kind of silly to me, but yeah, it was good.
It was a cool
connection.
I like
to the Avengers.
That he's a part of all of his movies. like with Inception. I want to incept Christopher Nolan to get him to tell me the end
they're
of Inception.
All in the same universe.
It kept spinning. Right?
Yeah.
He was stuck in his own thing, right?
Inception.
The top kept spinning, which means he was stuck in his
own thing. Oh no, that's not what. The ending's a cliffhanger. And no one knows what's happened. And some people think that the whole thing was
a dream.
The whole thing was actually the Asian dude.
It was his
being
dream.
Paid to get Leonardo DiCaprio's character out of a dream and to get him to forget about Mel so that he could do his job again.
Oh, crazy.
So
hold on. So what?
The Asian dude was actually someone that what Leonardo DiCaprio's character's job was actually that was his job, going into Leonardo DiCaprio's dream to go in to get him to forget about Mel,
okay,
so that he could do his job again, and that's what he needed to forget about Mel.
Yeah. They needed,
and then
him.
At the end would be him maybe waking up from
a dream.
Yeah,
I wish they just ended with Leonardo being like, "Oh, Just waking
up. That's what it should
waking
be.
Up in bed and just smashing to black.
There you go. Somebody edit that. But, somebody find
but
a video
again,
of
this
Leo
is like,
waking up.
These are like movies that are no one's making anything else like it.
Yeah.
And no respect. People because watch it and they're like, oh, that was kind
of
neat.
It's because people won't, a lot of people don't go see those. Much like Edge of Tomorrow or whatever. Everybody.
Live, die, repeat.
All you need, I mean, all you need is kill. There's so many. I mean, it's nobody's making those movies anymore because there's so many sequels or prequels to make. It's all sequels and prequels out there now.
I would like to watch it again because there was a couple of points, and I don't remember what it was, but right at the end, like I didn't quite understand. Like some of like the path of how it happened in time.
Yeah.
And I need to watch it again to understand it.
I saw it a couple times in theaters and it held up on subsequent viewing. It was just as like enjoyable and like it's got such a good pace to it and like it's very funny and something I was not expecting. I was kind of dreading it at first because the manga is really good, but you know, it looked like the last one he did, Oblivion, that movie, which was just kind of like,
awesome.
It was like a pretty music video. Like, I didn't much care for it as a film, but you know, it had a great score, had great visuals, but not much going on in the
aside from
narrative
Tom Cruise.
Department.
Did you guys watch the Scientology thing? That's all.
I have not seen Going Clear yet.
Of course, I did.
It was good. It was like, look how crazy Scientology is. I'm watching. I'm like,
yeah, I know.
Oh, I'm pretty sure there's way more shit going on than that.
Yeah.
I think way crazier.
It was way tamer. It was way tamer than what, like, they didn't reveal a lot of things.
Yeah, they didn't
that
even
are,
show anyone like peeing on anyone or
no,
anything.
No, they didn't
else
talk about Operation.
Certainly part of the rituals.
They didn't talk about Operation Snow White or talk about
what's Operation Snow White.
Operation Snow White is one of the biggest infiltrations in the FBI and in the government. From any organization, and it was Scientology infiltrated the FBI and all that. Hmm. And then there's another one, Operation Flatback or something, where I'm looking it up here. It's different types of operations. Operation Freakout, where they like made a few people who defected go crazy and all that, and completely discredited them in their fields of work. Mm-hmm. And they didn't talk about any of that stuff, and which gets even deeper than the, you know, David Miscavige's wife has been technically missing for like 3 years, but because she's an adult and her husband and her parents or whatever hasn't reported her missing, nobody's looking for her. Like, I can't report. Yeah. Like, if you went missing, I can't say, hey, my roommate's been missing for 2 years, because, and they wouldn't do nothing because they'd just be like, well, maybe he doesn't want you to find him.
Yeah, yeah.
But until, like, your loved ones or whatever start reporting you missing.
He's in his room.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's
just knock.
Yeah. But,
I thought. I was like, yeah, that's what I was hoping it was going to be showing. That
yeah, it just
and
showed
it
that
was just like,
wanted to be
hey,
a little more.
They're crazy in here, huh?
Yeah,
yeah. Like, well, yeah.
It's like any
are.
Religion,
everyone
you know.
That.
Every religion's tax exempt.
Yeah,
you know, they made a big deal about them being tax exempt, but every religion is tax exempt.
Yeah, yeah.
So it's like that's not. I mean, I don't know, but anyways, we are approaching our time.
Mm-hmm. Ooh.
Shane, this is now your. This is the part of the episode where it's your podcast. Essentially, you plug and promote anything you got coming
up.
Yeah,
where can people find
where
you on the World Wide
you?
Web?
What kind of show?
When is this coming out?
It's coming out May 4th.
Oh, okay.
Tomorrow.
So on May 26th, my new album will be coming out, which will be called My Big Break. It's about breaking both of my feet. And then I have Twitter at Shane Comedy. My website is ShaneMoss.com, where people can go and watch my TV appearances and stuff. I have a special on Netflix called Mating Season you can watch. And I have a podcast where I interview scientists about the meanings of life called Here We Are. So go to HereWeArePodcast.com and you can check that out.
Awesome. Well, thank you, Shane, for doing the show.
Thank you, guys.
Yeah, thank you so much for coming, man.
I normally try to avoid hanging out with Razzle as much as possible because I see him every day.
Yeah.
And,
that's true.
You know, but today I'm like, How about just an extra helping?
That's true.
Just an extra helping of Razzle.
Just a couple dads helping each other out.
I like that he thinks I'm some big board game dork, which I am, and I'm comfortable with.
Yeah.
But he's a big board game dork. I mean, there's only
there's only
two board game dorks. Mm-hmm. Like, there's a very small percentage of people that are board game dorks.
You either are or you're
not. And we're both board game dorks, and he's making fun of the one other board game dork that he knows.
He's got a reputation to keep up on this podcast.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's funny too, because it's like we'll be playing new games at the house and you'll be explaining them to the roommates. But once you played one or two, you kind of you get all the mechanisms or whatever. Yeah, yeah. So he'll be explaining it, and I'll just be like, all right, let's play it. I think I got it. Yeah. Like,
so, I mean, yeah, but they're careful though. Some of these board games that are coming out now are so complex, and they're like, you might understand some of the mechanisms, but there'll be something like, wait. What counter? Why I have to donate what chip to like which bank?
Yeah.
Oh yeah. I mean, I got all the roommates playing like 30-minute long games right now.
Yeah.
We're working to. I have some that are like 45 minutes. We're working toward like 3 hour
games.
You got
to work up to like the Game of Thrones board game.
Yeah. I haven't played the Game of Thrones.
It's fantastic. It's like Risk on bath salts. It's
amazing.
Oh,
that's awesome.
Yeah.
Well, it's like, I mean, if we played Risk with some of the roommates or even like Catan or whatever, it would turn into long. Those would be long games.
Not Catan.
Catan can be a long game.
Well, it can be. That's an easy
one.
Especially
if you're doing
classic.
Seafarers and if you're doing Cities and Kings and Cities and Knights and all these expansions.
I have just came out as a huge big dork. Right at that, I could have just said goodbye, everybody, and left it as at that. And now people all realize what an incredible
What
dork
I meant to
I
say
am.
Is I love on base percentages and touchdowns and.
Like tits and stuff. Yeah. Like just getting up in them ladies.
Lawn darts. And
like kicking ass,
jarts
and Scarface posters.
I like to drink beers and watch mafia movies.
I hope there's a Fast and the Furious 30.
Like,
I mean, let's not joke about things that we can't take back. I should hope that we're still one final ride again, still riding.
Hey, you guys.
I like that it's like
want.
I wanted those movies to die, and then a person in the movies died, and now those movies will never die because now it's like, now we have to keep them going. Yeah.
Well, they'd already planned to do 10 before Paul Walker passed.
Absolutely.
They're like, 10 more with Paul Walker's ghost.
Well, when they generate as much money as that, what they need to do with the next one is have it be Furious 8 and then have the logo turn on its side, the 8 turns on its side to become Fast and Furious Infinity. And then they go through time, racing through history.
And
they
black
like
holes
exactly
and stuff.
Yeah, have, it just needs to go off the fucking
going,
rails.
What if
here's
this
the
is
deal.
All just a Fast and the Furious movie?
Listen,
all of
you
this
guys,
is
just you living guys it. Are starting to talk shit on something I
love. No, I love it. Like,
to me, because I want there to be Fast 17.
I've only seen the one.
I can't wait until I can take my nephews
really
to go
proud
see
of
a Fast movie when they're old enough.
Yeah,
I hope
and that's
day
why
that
you're the
child.
Stepdad.
I left my child at Too Fast, Too Furious. It's time to grow up. You can figure out how to get home. You can
You've
come
only...
home.
I had to wax my T-top.
Which one did you see, the first one?
Yeah, I think I only saw the first
one. We'll do movie nights.
I didn't not enjoy it.
You gotta see...
Those are shit.
You gotta see 5, 6, and 7, because then it takes a turn. 5, 6, and 7 is when it takes a turn to become like...
4 is pretty good, though.
Like, that's when they sort of acknowledge how ridiculous the franchise is and just roll with it. And right now, they're like, honestly, right now, the new one,
superheroes.
They're superheroes. They're like the Avengers
with
of
cars.
Muscle cars.
They're like Transformers, only their cars don't transform.
They're like, hey, physics,
yeah,
I hate you, and I'm going to defy you.
Wow.
It's literally starting with 4 is really good. I mean, 4 is not amazing. 6 is 5 and 6 are probably my favorite ones, but 4, 5, 6, and 7. 5 is when they really, when they're like, wait a minute. We have these budgets. We can make these shitty B movies that are fun, and that's exactly what it is. It's like a big budget,
yeah.
Like how Indiana Jones was like a big budget, like pulp adventure like movie. Fast and the Furiouses are like big budget, just
yeah.
B car movies. Like it'd be like if you had the if the Asylum had $200 million to make a movie.
Oh wow! Well, if you're trying to trick me into liking Vin Diesel, it is not working.
But he's Groot.
He's so good, dude. He's Groot.
Anyway, let's wrap up these plugs. Yes. What do you got coming up, man? What
Nothing. I got nothing. Nothing. I got my other podcast. I got I don't have any
picking
shows
favorites
coming up
on the Wolf Pop Network.
I don't have any shows coming up soon. Coming up, yeah, nothing. I got. I'm trying to think. I feel like I got nothing to really sling and do. Yeah, there's that. You know, I got some projects in the work. I'm hoping, but you know, it is what it is.
I live with him. He doesn't have a lot going on.
No, I do a lot of hiking. That's pretty much what I'm going to go hiking today.
I'll be appearing at Runyon.
I didn't know that. Maybe I'll go hiking with you sometime once my foot's
once your foot's
better.
Yeah, I'm going to go to Malibu today. I'll be probably when you're listening to this, I'm on a mountain in Malibu.
He's going to be in the Boo.
I'm gonna be in the Boo today.
He was saying Boo Earns.
Cool.
While you're listening, I was
saying Boo Earns.
I didn't know you had this whole other life.
Oh, I three times a week, buddy. You're too busy.
Three times a day.
You're too busy. Hold up in your room, sleep until noon, like all the other roommates.
I'm usually getting work done and shit in there. Or I'm either getting a lot of work done, or I'm in a depressed state binge watching a series.
Sons of Anarchy
right now. Yeah, I've been depressed for like 2 days now. Mm-hmm. Just because I just had this big swell of confidence for like 2 weeks.
Yeah.
Where just shit was going great. Uh-huh. And, you know, like your brain just can't keep those chemicals going forever. And so there's just like this 2 day fallout where I'm like, oh, I guess I just have to watch Sons of Anarchy just to get through
this. Just to get back down to
my
earth.
Brain's
I need to
trying
see some
to,
real
like, eat itself
motorcycle based tragedy.
Yeah.
That's fine. Dan, what do you got?
I got a couple quick plugs. As I mentioned at the top of the podcast, my book, 100 Things Avengers Fans Should Know and Do Before They Die, is available now in bookstores, online, wherever fine books are sold, as an ebook form. And I've got a couple signings coming up this week. On Thursday, the 7th, May 7th, I'll be at the Last Bookstore in downtown LA at 7 p.m. And on Saturday, the 9th, I'll be at the Barnes & Noble in Valencia. So if you happen to be in the Los Angeles area, come on down. I'd love to see your smiling face. And
do that.
If you want to find us on Twitter, the podcast is on Twitter at TWL Podcast. You can send us an email, todaywelearnedpodcast@gmail.com. We are also on Facebook, Today We Learned with Razzle and Dan. And if you want to talk to us personally, you can do that as well. I am on Twitter, Instagram, whatever, at osteoferocious.
My name is Razzle on Instagram. My name is Razzle2 on Twitter. And my name is Razzle3 on Reddit.
And may the Razzle 4th be with you.
Yeah, and also real quick, Dan, how was Mad Max?
So good.
So go see Mad Max next week. I mean, it's a week and a half. Go see
it. It's really good.
I'm going to watch it. I'm very excited. All right. Thanks, everybody. And as always,
see ya.
Now leaving Nerdist.com.